Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gott, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gott providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gott's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you, bigger than Oprah. How about that? Please subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Second episode of the week. Boom. I promised, I delivered. How about that, Stanzik? Rarely do I promise something and then deliver it.
I mean, you're just taking a minor victory lap here. You promised five episodes this week and everyone's getting a second one. So bonus content is bonus content. I'm here for it. Hopefully the audience is here for it. Let's do it. Episode 60, by the way.
Wow. How about that? I promised you five. I'm giving you two. Baby steps. Pablo Torre. Enjoy.
Stupodity!
All right, Stanzik, we're going to be joined by Pablo Torre in just a second. Very smart guy. We had him on the show earlier this week to talk about serious stuff, to talk about this pandemic and how Asians are being treated. That's not what we do here on Stupodity, right?
Definitely not.
Okay, good. And so I'm not saying good. It's just we don't dabble in the serious. The thing is f***ing called Stupodity. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
So what has made you laugh with Pablo on social media? Because unbeknownst to me, and I hate when people do this, I really do, Pablo tweeted out a text conversation that he and I were trying to have, but because of what's going on with this pandemic and everything, I had lost my phone. I didn't see that he was trying to get a hold of me. What has made you laugh? And then he asked me to record a couple of verses of a song that turned into two words, which outraged me, and did tag me on the tweet when he tweeted it out. What has made you laugh about this entire thing?
So if people didn't know that you were having phone issues, and I knew that you were having phone issues, the text conversation that Pablo and you had is just pure comedy, because it's him badgering you. Well, badgering is probably the wrong word, but it's him asking you politely just to record you singing this song so he can put this mashup together. He has this great idea to like let people have fun during this whole home isolation. And he just is asking you very nicely, Stu, I just need you to sing like a few lines from the song and I'll put it together. You don't respond. Then he's like, hey, Dan's already done it. Katie Nolan's already done it. Mina's done it. And he's like listing all these people that have helped him out already. And he's just pleading with you to just like say yes and agree to do it. And still nothing. The next day, he just like puts Stu in all caps. And then finally, you respond and you're like, wait a minute, who is this? I'm having phone issues. What do you want me to do? It's perfect.
It wasn't even the next day. It was that night.
Oh, my God.
Night. Yeah, because listen, we're so crazed around here. No one wants to get germs that I took some of those Clorox wipes, Stanzik. And I, because I'm cleaning my phone every 5 seconds. And I let my phone bathe in Clorox for like 25 minutes, and the entire thing just fried. It melted. I'm talking like disintegrated. It disappeared when I opened up the paper towel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
I'm still laughing. I'm trying to pull up this actual post that Pablo had of the text exchange.
Oh, I have it right here.
Great. Oh, yeah, great.
I have it right here. I'm asking a dozen people to do a parody of that Where the Song Is in the End by LinkedIn.
Linkin Park.
ZipRecruiter. Stupodity. Dylan Miskiewicz. Gretchen Huebner. Are you in for a verse? I did not respond. Stu. All capitalized. I need you, buddy. All capitalized. Sent me the words of the song and how to sing that. He sent me a video. How about that? Can you record a vertical selfie video of yourself dramatically saying the words, all I know, a la Linkin Park, otherwise known as LinkedIn, in this clip? Dan, Reali, Katie, Mina, Poppy, etc., all in the video want you to be a part of it. My response, having major phone issues for starters. Who is this? I'm so sorry. His response, Jesus Christ, it's Pablo. I sent that to crying face emojis. He wrote amazing.
It's so perfect. It's so you. Like, people would assume that that's how you'd respond to anyone. And you and Pablo are good friends. And someone was just asking you for a favor. So, of course, you were trying to get out of it. That's how it appears.
No. And what happened was he wanted me to be a part of it. And then so ultimately it looked like Stantic. I understand what you're saying. It looked like I was trying to avoid Pablo the entire day, which you know I wasn't now because you know my phone was bathing in Clorox and it melted, it disintegrated. It looks that way. And then what happened was I was furious with Pablo because a verse became three fucking words.
I mean, yes, dude.
You're going to ask me to do it. Have you seen the whole song?
I mean, the entire video is a minute 21 or something, and this is the only portion where you come in.
All I know.
That's it. You got 1.9 seconds out of you.
But Pablo, I fucking nailed that 1.9 seconds, did I not?
High impact 1.9 seconds.
Yeah. And Santa, by the way, that's about what Abby gets out of you, too. Hey,
oh!
Oh, I know.
Oh, God. By the way, can we rewind a bit? Because I missed the part where you apparently explain that your phone being destroyed or lost or whatever was not a hoax that you perpetrated on me specifically.
Listen, I've done it to others. I'm telling you right now, I would do it to you. I swear. So what happened was, Pablo, because we're all going through the, you know, this pandemic and the COVID virus and no one wants germs and I'm like, that was bad. Sam, did you get that?
I think so. You cough? Was it phlegm? What happened?
No, it was AOL alerting me that I have an email. Just keep it in the podcast, okay?
While people make fun of me. I know.
So Pablo, what I was doing, because, you know, we're all freaking out here, is I'm cleaning my phone so often that all I have was Clorox wipes. And so I put like four of them around my phone and just let it bathe in there. And then when I opened up the wipes, the phone had disintegrated.
You know what? I actually believe that. I was ready for an explanation that I was going to immediately doubt, but that actually is the most Dugatzian excuse to the point where I actually believe that it's real.
Yes, I didn't want you. And unbeknownst to me, you tweeted out our entire text exchange. I didn't realize that until just now when Stancic showed it to me.
So you got, see, there's some backstory on how this all came together. First off, in your part.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get you for a bigger part, but you didn't respond for 7 hours because you apparently were bathing your phone in bleach. But the part that you got, and this speaks to the very different relationships that I have with you and our friend Bomani Jones, I had, and this is, I think, a compliment. It's not to offend you. The part that you had, and Stanza, could you play that one more time for the people?
All I know.
So that part, I had actually asked Bomani to perform because I was like, Bo's only going to want to do this for about 1.9 seconds. Bomani was actually down to do it for 0.0 seconds. And so I ended up having this big important hole because that's top of the song, man. That's cleanup, I believe. You're batting cleanup in the order of the luminaries that I asked to do this. And so who do I turn to when Bo, perhaps predictably and understandably, bows out? I go to you and you throw just 105 miles an hour out of the bullpen. So really a compliment to you.
All I know.
Stanza, that was very Stugatzian of Pablo right there, where he made my part. He gave me probably 20 less words than he originally wanted me to do, but somehow spun it in a way where those three words were more important than the original 20. You saw what he did there, right?
He's lying to you, right? You know, you're batting cleanup. Come on, Pablo.
No, that's a joke. It takes one to know one. I love how he lied to me. I was turned on by it. I got to be honest.
I also do appreciate, by the way, that we have a relationship that is unique insofar as, like, normally I would, you know, call the person and be like, hey, I'm going to post a video of me scrolling through our text exchange on my phone. Then I was like, I think Stu Gatz will get where I'm coming from here.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It's when Hulk Hogan was on the air with us. Like, he wanted me to play a bigger part. My phone was broken. Bad timing. Terrible. You always got to be there when your agent calls and gives you a chance, okay? Not that you're my agent. But Hogan told us a story that he and George Foreman had the same agent. And when the Foreman grill was coming out, he originally wanted Hulk to have it. He called Hulk. He wasn't home. He called George. He was home. And Foreman got the grill. And Hogan got a blender. I got the fucking 1.9 second blender, man.
Oh, man.
I want to tell you another secret real quick.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Not sure.
Stanzik, you'll love this. When I established the phone connection and we were on the same page in terms of what you wanted me to do, I told you I needed a certain amount of time. Did I not?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Did I tell you what I was doing?
No.
Okay. So I was like, I think I told you, hey, I'll be home. Give me 10, 15 minutes. I'll be home in 10, 15 minutes. Do it right when I get home. Right.
Yeah. You were like, hey, can I do this like tomorrow in the morning or do you need it now? And I said, I need this now.
Yeah.
And to your credit, you said, give me 10 minutes and I'll be home.
Right. So I was already home. I needed to take a shower. and to put on that great gear I put on for the video. Yeah.
I mean, your 1.9 seconds was clearly sponsored by Adidas.
Right. I had to shower to get the stench off of me, and I had to get my eyes a shower with some Visine, yeah?
But can you take us into the room where you taped this? Because on the group chat that had been established after this video came out, where all the people in the video are on it, there was a lot of discussion about Mina Kimes thought that this room, and there are many, if you look at the video, there are many curtains, like vertically separated, like high cathedral ceiling. She thought those were TVs and that you lived in basically a Vegas casino.
She's right. If I was doing it the other direction, you would see the blackjack tables and roulette right behind me. And waitresses walking around with free cocktails.
I'm looking at the details now. Is that a ping pong table next to you? Is that the corner of a ping pong table?
So that is the room right behind where I'm currently sitting. I'm sitting in my office right now, and there's like a bonus playroom that is right behind me that leads out to the backyard. And yes, that is a ping pong table. I am a very good ping pong player. In fact, I maintain I'm the best ping pong player at ESPN. Okay.
Wow.
And yeah, I know. I mean, I'm good. I really am. And those are not TVs, although she's giving me an idea. Like, they should be TVs. I'm a little upset. Those are just big windows, man. That's all.
Hang on. Is this playroom for you or for your kids?
Oh, great man, question. I have kids. Who cares?
Yeah, there's nothing like reminiscent of children in this shot. It's just like Stu Gatz in his own bunker of excess. And by the way, the excess in your, like, you extrapolating, as we all are doing now, what the rest of your house must look like based on purely a, you know, 2x4-inch box. You have a nice setup, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this Levitar thing has worked out swimmingly for me.
And what I
failed to say, because I'm trying to be humble here, is that bonus room leads right out to the big fat pool that I have.
I love that you – so for clarity's sake, I just last October, I acquired a mortgage for an apartment that I purchased, and the big development was I get a second bedroom and a second bathroom because I live in Manhattan. And these are the luxuries that I've been looking forward to for now 34 years. And you just have bonus rooms, a bonus room for who knows what.
I mean, for ping pong, pop a shot. I watch the NFL in there. I mean, I got like, listen, on the other wall, if I did it from the other direction, you would have saw three TVs. Okay. Right. Like along a big wall. So I could watch all the games on Sunday. I'm an idiot. What do you want me to tell you? And speaking of bathrooms, I'm in my office right now. There's a bathroom in my office. And when I open this door to walk outside the office, you know what's there? Another bathroom. I don't think I've ever used it, Pablo.
I was going to ask, do you have like a bathroom specifically reserved for the different bodily functions, or are you just ignoring entirely certain bathrooms like they're just completely useless?
Wow, that's astounding. I didn't think about that. To have a bath, just so you're saying a bathroom just to go, you know, to take a leak in, and then a bathroom to take a number two in.
Yeah, a poop room.
I mean, I don't have it, but I do now. I mean, I certainly have another one. Which one should I make the poop room? Like the nicest one, or?
Well, I think you want to have the room furthest from where you're spending most of your time, unless like you actually do enjoy the stink of your own, you know, of your own poop. But that's where I'd go with it.
Yeah, right. So the one that's furthest away from that bonus room is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Stu, I have a question for you. How much are you enjoying being at home, given all the description that you just laid out?
I mean, it's heaven. I mean, listen, I wish this virus would go away, but my commute has gone away too. I mean, I don't know how my wife likes it, but I mean, it's just weird because the kids are being homeschooled right now. Like homeschooled, they're taking classes online. They're not homeschooled. So it's just, I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie and tell you I'm not enjoying it. Okay? but I think the one thing that both of you know about me is I care deeply about that show, and our show in particular is very difficult to do with us being all in separate places. It just is. It just, it's very tricky to do. With that said, I'm fine with it.
Never been happier.
With that said, I hope we have it this way forever.
I don't know if Dan can go another week. I really don't. It's hard. How are you holding up there? And by the way, it's funny because like when I lived in New York, Pablo, I know exactly what you're talking about with the apartments. You got to get a mortgage. Like I lived in a shoebox that was like thousands of dollars a month. It's crazy there, man.
No, it's stupid. Like New York is – I am a born and raised Manhattanite. I am a New York elitist by genetic constitution. And it is the worst city to be in during a pandemic. Like all of the reasons why New York is amazing, the fact that you could walk everywhere, wander into things, people are doing interesting things, restaurants, cultural events, shows, sports, all of that stuff, all of it is zeroed out. And so I just walk around my apartment doing loops. Like I'm kind of going a little crazy. Now, all of which is to say that I have a newborn daughter, and Stu Gatz, you called me in the hospital. While I was on one of my, I've been on the quarantine program basically for about a month.
Was he asking for a favor, Pablo, when he called you?
Well, it was unclear because something that happened in that phone call,
that's a yes.
I was like, well, something that happened was Stu Gatz had some very good advice. He had professional counsel. Obviously the show had just disappeared into the air and Stu Gatz called with some professional counsel, which I appreciated. He also, reminded me that his dad is apparently like a magnate of baby furniture and equipment.
This is true.
And the big crescendo of the call was that, Pablo, I'm going to connect you with my dad. I'm going to send you an email. He's going to love you. He's going to have you down to the warehouse. You can have your pick of whatever you want. Whatever the light touches in the warehouse is yours.
Yeah.
And I have not heard a single thing since that phone call about anything related to Stu Gatz's dad or baby furniture.
It's totally fair. I mean, listen, my dad back in the 90s, I am telling you, like this guy, he had the number one baby stroller. He had the number one kid car seat in the country. He's the greatest ever. he's on my all-time baby furniture team. but Pablo, here's the reason why, okay? And my apologies. My parents, who are down here in South Florida right now, they were supposed to, like 2 weeks ago, the next day, they were getting on a plane to Manhattan to go back to their apartment in New York City. And I called them, and I'm sorry I didn't inform you of this, okay? But I called them and I said, Mom and Dad, do me a favor, stay down here. You have a house here. It's nice weather down here. Up there, you have an apartment. There's more space here. New York City is going to be the center of all of this, and it is now, unfortunately. And so my parents ended up staying down here. Therefore, I have not been able to introduce you to my dad. I mean, I can introduce you right now if you want. He just can't take you down to the warehouse, you know?
Stu Gatz, I appreciate that you basically just told me that the reason that I haven't gotten a follow-up about the baby furniture is because you needed to save your parents' lives.
And I respect that. And I appreciate you telling me the reason I only got three words in your f***ing song was because I was trying to clean up.
Can we hear that? All I know. By the way, I want to point out, I have a reserve. So my phone is full of insane text exchanges and videos from all of these people in it. And I just want to point out that you provided me with a couple of different takes, which I appreciated. That's a professional move. Again, I knew out of the bullpen you would have multiple pitches, right? I knew you would have it. You delivered. I want to also point out Greg Cody sent me like six different takes. And at some point, I'm going to figure out something to do with them. But it's incredible. Greg, who also was given a relatively limited role, but again, high impact. I needed somebody to croon. Greg, like, performed it in sort of like all these different ways. And I don't know what to do with it, but I have an archive that seems destined for the internet at some point.
I'm sorry.
Pablo, we have the platform right here. Yes. I mean, the show is called Stupidity. That's what we need.
Yes, if you want to unveil them, or a certain Levitore would know what to do with that. I mean.
Yeah, what I'll do actually is I'm going to Stanzik. I'll email you the videos, and you can just lay it
I'll
in wherever you'd like.
Yeah.
Exactly, you can just do that. So that'll be the first leak of the proprietary secret content.
Thank you, I appreciate it for your cleanup hitter. Thank you.
That's right.
So listen, who's like Cody? Surprisingly, Cody is a very good voice. You were not aware of that, right? He's got a
no.
Decent
I, oh, Stugatz. I scouted this. I mean, as much as we want to joke about how I was just slotting people in randomly based on levels of desperation, which is on the one hand kind of true. On the other hand, I was producing this, so I had to get people who were going to do the spoken word thing. I needed to break them up with people who were going to give me some real performance, and so. Greg Cody, I had scouted at the live show in New York. Greg Cody went out on the stage of the Gramercy Theater when it was not his time, I believe, and sang the ever-living shit out of New York, New York.
He did, right? Yes.
And as soon as I heard that, I was like, I don't know when this is going to be useful to me, but I will call upon this man's gifts at some point.
It took a coronavirus, but here we are.
It took a pandemic for Greg Cody to get in the batting order here. But man, him and I would say Gojo.
I was going to say, Stanzik, you would have been so proud of our boy Gojo. I think Gojo's got the best voice in the entire thing, Pablo.
I think Gojo, I had slotted him there because I knew he was going to come strong. I had seen him sing something before. I think there's a karaoke video. A bunch of ESPN people did karaoke in Bristol at one point. And I'm a scout, Stugatz. And so I saw it and I was like, this guy he's got pipes. And he delivered, man. He really did deliver at the end.
Yeah, in his car too, degree of difficulty. I mean, it was crazy.
It was super impressive. And on a serious note, like I did not plan on doing this video until someone, the guy who edited this, a friend of mine via the internet, Jerome at Black Dragon Roll on Twitter and Instagram. He was like, hey, if you actually want to do this, I will edit it and string it together. And so I wasn't going to do it until someone, and again, this is very Stugatzian of me. I wasn't really going to do it until someone volunteered to do some of the work for me. And nice. So as soon as I got that message, I was like, you know what? Let me spend my entire Thursday herding the dozen or baker's dozen worth of cats. That is Gonzalo Levitard and Stugatz and Amin and Mina Kimes and Katie Nolan and Tony Reale. By the way, Reale.
Yeah, no.
In terms of who provided me with more than I ever asked for, Tony Reale, within 2 minutes, he texts me, he says, I need to learn this song on piano. And I didn't really know why he needed to, because I just asked him to sing, again, a very specific verse. But he came back within 2 minutes, having apparently learned the song and playing it on piano, and just sent me a series of videos of him drumming, playing the piano, hitting a trick shot. Like, that dude provided me with so much more than I asked for. And he ended up being, obviously, like, a wildly, wildly important part of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, postscript on this. Another podcast, It's The Real, made by some friends of mine. They interviewed Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park, and he had seen the video. And he said, and this is fair. He said the only reason he didn't retweet it that day was because, and this is sort of the cosmic symmetry of all of this, the day that it was released, completely unbeknownst to me, was the lead singer of Linkin Park, Chester Bennington, RIP, the late great Chester Bennington. It was his birthday. Wow. And so it ended up being this tribute, albeit one that his bandmate felt uncomfortable retweeting because we were all having a little too much fun doing it.
But he eventually retweeted it?
He did not. He said that the next day he forgot because that's how fast the internet moves. And by the way, that's true. Fair point, Mike Shinoda. But
he never intended to retweet it at all. Mr. Guy's the strong in everyone in this equation.
You know what? I just realized that the Stugatz is extraordinarily strong in Mike Shinoda. Wow. Yes. Wow.
By the way, degree of difficulty for you, Pablo, tracking down. I mean, Stanzik, listen to this crew. Katie Nolan never responds to a text, ever. Okay? You tried to track down in one day Katie Nolan, me, Greg Cody, Gonzalo Levitard, and Dan Levitard, who's the hardest to track. Levitard will go 4 years without texting me back. I mean, that degree of difficulty. Reality got right back to you, right? No problem.
Of course he did. Oh, of course, yeah. Reality.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately with piano accompaniment.
He would be like in musicals. He'd be a showman if he wasn't doing this. He's great, man.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. So, hey, how's fatherhood treating you? How, before we end on a very sad note, somber note, how is fatherhood treating you?
No, the father, by the way, every conversation I have with people from ESPN, my friends, especially those who participated in this thing, it's funny. It's just like, oh, by the way, you're a dad now. How's that going? And I'm like, okay,
by the way, before we get to you being a dad, how many views does this thing have now?
Oh, I think it's up to almost like 300,000. Like, we got to keep pumping this thing, man. I feel like there's sponsored content opportunities for all of us in this.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I'll keep pumping it. I mean, are you kidding me? Set it up 15 times and I didn't know that we were trying to do something like that. Hey, so your father.
Oh, yeah, right. So I'm a dad. I think it's the best time to be a dad of a newborn just because I have been at home for so long anyway, and also I have stuff I need to take care of that I'm needed for around the house all the time anyway. So like the idea that, hey, you're gonna have to be at home for possibly months, I am so glad to get this time with Violet, my daughter, who I spend a lot of time just staring at. We just stare at each other, and I find myself hormonally like tearing up. I'm in that phase where I am finding things to be affecting that I didn't really ever feel before. The other part is that she is constantly pooping. And so I've like realized that my rhythms. Yeah, I need a poop room. Oh my God. I need a poop room. But you know this, Stugatz, like my structure and my daily life is organized around her, as it should be. She is a baby. So I am all in. I am all in. It is 95% of my brain at this point. The other 5% is a mixture of Netflix and just like raiding the fridge for cold cuts. Yeah. But let me ask you, at what point does it stop being that way? At what point does your life stop being so governed hour to hour by the needs of your kid?
Oh, that's interesting. I would say, I mean, it never really stops, Pablo, until other men start coming into their lives, right? No. Well, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, one of them has a boyfriend, but they're 16. Like, listen, that adorable, cute little thing, eventually she's going to turn into a monster that ate you, okay? I mean, you know, from 15 to 20, that will be the case, and then she'll come back in spades afterwards because she'll need money. No, but I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. Because people ask me all the time, if you could have another child, would you want a boy or a girl? And I'll be honest, I was a little upset when I learned that we had twins. I figured one boy, one girl, everyone's happy, blah, blah, blah. We had two girls. if I had another child, give me a girl every time, because there was nothing like the relationship a father and daughter had. It's the best thing in my life by a million miles, Pablo. And so to answer your question, it's going to be like this for a long time. But I think once they get, you know, to those teenage years, like 13, 14, so like 14 years to go, they'll kind of start, you know, thinking for themselves, doing for themselves, hopefully. And forgetting and needing you less and less, but the relationship will still be great. It will just be great in different ways, you know?
Yeah, no, it's real, man. All that stuff is real. Like, I used to hear about, again, I'm waiting, by the way, to break out the phrase, as the father of a daughter on TV at some point. Like, I can't wait.
I've done it. It feels good. Yeah.
It's so empowering. Just imagining it fills me with such unbelievable righteousness. But the idea of all of these cliches of having like a relationship with your daughter and feeling this love that is indescribably real and overwhelming. Yeah, that is all true. Like this is me being, you know, sappy for a brief second, but like, I get it now. I actually do get that for all of the sleeplessness, and that's the sleeplessness speaking, like I am sleepless. Liz, by the way, my wife, she is doing 95% of the work. And so I can only imagine how she is feeling. But to be sappy for a second, it is so unbelievably great. And so it's going to be the thing that, yeah, dominates my brain for a long, long time. And I don't know if I'd have it any other way.
No. But I want you, like the sleeplessness that you were talking about, okay? And all the work you guys are doing and how exhausting it is sometimes. Now imagine having another one.
Yeah, that's not true.
And have them on different sleep cycles, because that's what me and my wife had. And starting a radio station at the same time. I mean, jeez, I don't know how we made it, to be honest with you. It's crazy. I'm happy to hear that, buddy. I'm happy for your entire family. That's awesome. So New York has become kind of the epicenter of this pandemic here. And I'll get you out of here on a somber note. Sorry about this. But just like put us there, Pablo, what's going on? What's going on with you, your family? What's going on in that city where I think I was reading maybe, was it half the cases in the United States are in New York City and Long Island? Is that accurate? Westchester, New York City, and Long Island?
It's something crazy. Like if you were to rank New York among all the countries in the world, New York is like easily on the medal stand for most cases. And yeah, it's wild, man. There's like the only comparison that I have, and I lived through it in Manhattan and was in high school at the time and remember this so vividly. The only comparison for it is 9/11. Now, it's very different in many ways. Obviously, 9/11 was by definition that one morning with all of the ripple effects afterwards. This seems to be so slow moving and at the same time rapidly out of control that it's just bizarre. But yeah, we're all inside, man. We're just staying inside. There is, if you can be inside, and this is where, like, you know, if anyone out there is listening to Stupidity for pandemic advice, here it is. I think there are two things.
I'm sorry. We should stop laughing before you give the two things. Okay,
before I give this very real advice to the listeners of Stupidity, what I would say is that two things are important. Number one, like if you have this thing, like we should not be talking about it in a way that stigmatizes or shames people. Like it's important for people to know, like, hey, if you have it, like this is not a thing you should be hiding or be ashamed of. Like, let's discuss that, because it's important to know. And also, like, it's important for people to realize that this is everywhere, right? Like this is something that we have to take seriously. And so the second thing is, while you're being transparent and not shaming people for having this thing, at the same time, we do need to take it super, super seriously. Like for me, all of this, right? It just reminds me that when we elect politicians, when we elect people to run our country, like we're really electing pilots. And so it just feels like we're on a plane right now, and you want the people who are steering and driving the plane to land it safely. And so what does that mean? It means just being super, super careful and disciplined and serious. And yeah, man, like the thing, even if you never get this thing, even if you listener out there never get
you might never know, Pablo. You might have it and never know.
Right. So there are so many complexities here. Like, it's impossible to really trace back where you got it from. If you do get it, it's impossible right now without the testing to know if you have it or had it already. And the other thing, man, it's like, when we are dealing with this issue, to listen to the experts, man, like the scientists, the doctors, like stuff. It's so important that we listen to those people, because even if you never get this, what could happen is the hospitals get overloaded, as what we're seeing in New York is suggesting is extraordinarily possible. Hospitals get overloaded. Therefore, they can't take in patients, right? And so even if you don't get it, God forbid you have something that you need help medically for, you know, like, it's going to make that spin of the roulette wheel that much more dangerous. So if there's a Stugatz in you, right, there is a real reason for selfishness to urge you to be super careful and conscientious and to take this seriously. Like, we're just going to have to be hunkered down for a while, man. And as much as that's somber and sad, like, let's all commit to that, and then we can start finding like the humor in and around it. But right now in New York, I will say, it just feels like, yeah, there's a 9/11/Katrina kind of like super scary precipice that we just need everybody to pitch in on. So I hope they do.
It's crazy. Yeah. I tell my kids, listen, there's no shame in having this. All I've told them and all I've asked them, I've printed out the symptoms very clearly for them. It's sitting on a wall in the kitchen. It's sitting in their bedrooms, right? If you feel any of this, just tell us. There is no shame in having it, because the only way this thing goes away is by you telling someone that you have it. That's it. Is by getting tested and feeling, and then sitting inside and waiting until it goes away so you don't give it to anyone else. And that's it. That's simple.
Yeah. And so look, America.
Look at me. I made science simple right there. Boom.
You did. Stupidity.
I haven't sit inside for a month and a half, and that's it, and it's gone. We're done.
No, I mean, look, the United States of America, this is our time. We just got to sit on the fucking couch for a long ass time.
Right.
And if you do that, you will be a patriot. It's kind of as insane as this whole story is. If all we have to do is that, it kind of feels like this is our calling as Americans that we've been preparing for decades.
Right. Listen, I told my kids, all I'm asking you to do is sit inside for 5 weeks and watch Netflix. That's it.
Like, right.
But you'll learn this as your kid gets older, Pablo, bring this full circle, okay? Your kid, when you don't tell them to stay home and sit on Instagram the entire day, that's exactly what they'll do. And when you do tell them they can do it, they'll figure out how to get out of the house. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, I'm terrified, man. Yeah. The stage where my daughter discovers cell phones, I'm not ready for that.
Well, you got about 11 years. When do you plan on getting her a cell phone? I would wait until she's in college.
Honestly, I would love. I would love that. I would really love that. I do feel like we're going to be at the point where we're like getting cybernetic implants right, by the time she goes to college. Sure. So the cell phone may be the record player of 2035 at this point. But I just know that whatever replaces the cell phone will definitely have a ton of dick pics on it. I'd like to prepare for that reality.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for the time. I'm glad the video was a huge success. I'll keep pushing it. And stay safe, man. Take care of that young, beautiful daughter of yours and your wife. And stay safe and know that we're thinking about you, man.
Love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Pablo, I love you too. I have to go use the poop room.
Stupidity!
Stanzik, I'm a little upset I did not monetize this thing properly. Pablo has not monetized this thing properly. You got to leave the business to the businessmen. That's why I should have been in charge of this fucking thing. What are we going to do here? Let's play. You know what? I know it's a visual thing as well, and probably you need to watch this thing, but I want people at least to listen to it, Stanzik, so perhaps they'll go to the video. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I have the audio. I can play the audio, but the audio doesn't do it justice. Here is the audio, and then after you hear it, you got to go to Pablo's Twitter feed, or you should retweet it, Stu, and okay, people can click on it and watch it there. But here is the audio.
it starts with
one thing. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try.
Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to explain in due time.
All I know.
Time. It's a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings.
Watch it count down to the end of the day.
And the clock ticks life away. It's so unreal.
You didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window.
Trying to hold on to didn't even know. I wasted it all just to
watch you go.
Kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart.
What it meant to me will eventually be a memory.
Of a time when I tried so hard and got so far.
But in the end, it doesn't really matter. I had to fall to lose it all.
But in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Beautiful. Who's the worst, Stanzik? It's got to be a mean landslide, right? Like, he's just terrible in that song.
I don't know. The people that just got the talking portions, I feel like got away with it easy. Like, Mina just had to talk. I think the entire time I was listening, the star, as you and Pablo discussed, the star of the song is Gojo. I mean, Rielly's yes. trying too hard and showing off. Gojo is the runaway star, in my opinion.
Yes, but I guarantee you the guy who thinks he's the star, a legend in his own mind, is Greg Cody. Oh,
of course, and I got to be honest, Pablo, true to his word, sent me the Cody outtakes if you'd like to hear them.
Cody is very much like me where he thinks, first off, he is a legend in his own mind, as am I, but Cody thinks he should have sang that entire song, right?
I'm surprised he didn't.
Exactly. All right, so you have outtakes from Greg Cody. He gave Pablo a few different options here.
I do, and you can hear the old man stumbling around with his phone here in the first one.
It's so unreal. It's so unreal. It's so unreal.
So, of course, Pablo didn't know what to do with these. Pablo was like, I don't know. I have all this Greg Cody content just sitting around. Like, what should I do with it? And we told him, this is stupidity. We'll do something with it. So, I don't know if you're aware, but Cody was apparently practicing in the shower.
Oh, God.
And the clock ticks life away. It's so unreal. And the clock ticks life away. It's so unreal.
And then
I imagine him doing this. Do you? Do you not? When he sings in the shower, he is also using a loofah on his back. Is he not? Like, do you imagine that like reaching back?
That is the visual that no one needed.
Well, everyone needed. Yeah. Yeah. And listen, we're staying at home. Everyone's losing their minds, and I'm just trying to make you laugh a little bit and give you a funny visual. And that's a funny visual. You have Cody doing more.
Yes, I have Greg Cody hitting it big at the opera.
It's so unreal. It's so unreal.
Getting higher.
It's so unreal.
I love that man.
Oh my, he's the best. He really is the best. Yeah, Greg Cody and a loofah in the same sentence. That is not what I expected to happen today, but there it is.
What would be the thing that Cody, like an old man, would wash his back with in the shower? You know the thing I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. A loofah, of course.
I have Cody with his glasses on in the shower naked using a loofah. I don't know why.
Get him on.
Get him on. He's been on. Get him on again. I'm going to retweet it from my Twitter account, at Sugat790. I'll also retweet it from Pablo's Twitter account as well. But people do need to watch it. It was a good idea by Pablo. It was well executed. I apologize. It would have been out a day sooner had my phone not been broken. My apologies to Pablo. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. A special second episode of Stupidity as we inch closer to my dream. Doing 5 of these a week, Stanzik. It ain't happening. But we promise 2 more next week. I hope you enjoyed today's. And everyone stay safe out there.
Stupidity!